You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Trees, mountains, a curious kittadoo.
It's time for the Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week on the Green Desk, Jack Marshall speaks with freshwater scientist Ian Kusabs about a breakthrough in monitoring kolra, New Zealand's freshwater crayfish. Kusabs of Ngāti Tū Wharetoa is a busy man working with the University of Waikato, Iwi Groups and Niwa as a freshwater scientist. Today, Kusabs tells the Green Desk about whakaweku, which are bundles of bracken fern that have proved exceptional at monitoring kolra compared with other methods. Here's Kusabs explaining how he got started.
About 2005, I was contracted by Niwa to set up find the best way of sampling kolra in the Rotorua Lakes and Taupō Lakes. And we went out and tried a whole lot of methods, and none of them were very successful. And then we started investigating this traditional Māori harvesting method called the tau kolra. And basically what it is, it's like a long line, if you think of a long line that you use in the sea, but this is a big thick rope, and then off this long line, instead of lines and hooks, you have these bracken fern bundles. And basically they act like little artificial reefs. So they take about a month or so for the kolra to find them and colonise them, and then you pull them into the boat, shake all the kolra out, and they work really, really well. Like, we had really good catches. Like in Lake Rotorua, we had over 200 kolra per fern bundle. And we usually work on like 10 whakaweku or fern bundles per line, per site. And the neat thing, they catch an equal ratio of males and females. So if you're using traditional traps certain times of the year, you'll just catch big, aggressive males. So you don't really know what the population is like. These whakaweku catch lots of small kolra as well, like smaller than your fingernail, right up to the big ones, which are the size of your hand, you know. So in those traps, the traps don't catch anything small, basically. So this thing was just worked so well. The other thing, you can use it at depth as well. We're getting down to 40 metres in Lake Rotorua. And so that was really successful. It's one of the first instances of the tauranga Māori being used in freshwater sciences. So that was really neat. And I have to acknowledge Taumātua Willie Emery, who passed away a couple of years ago, who shared that knowledge with us. There was only about two or three whānau in all of Rotorua Taupō that were still using that traditional method. So we've seen a revitalisation in that as well. Now we're using it to sample, regularly monitor the Rotorua Te Arawa Lakes, all 15 of the lakes. The Te Arawa Lakes Trust are using it. Lake Rotorua Trust, Tū Wharetoa Māori Trust Board. So anyways, it worked really well in the lakes. And we thought, there's another project with Niwa Research Project. We thought, well, let's try it in streams. So we trialled it out in a local stream down here, and it compared it to a lot of other methods, and it worked really well. In fact, it worked as well as electric fishing, which is the gold standard of sampling in kolra and fish and streams.
Is that exactly what it sounds like when you electrocute everything and pick up the dead things?
Yeah, well, it stuns them, but it's still...
Oh, okay.
It can injure them.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like using it, particularly iwi, because it really hurts the big fish, like long fish, like eels. So anyway, we trialled this method out, and we found it worked just as good for catching kolra as, or freshwater crayfish, as electric fishing.
And I imagine anyone can do it as well. It's basically just a bunch of bracken and things you can find next to the stream.
Exactly. And the best place is usually roadside, you know, because you can just drive your truck right up there and make them. About 10 bracken fern bundles per bunch, and just bind them together with cable ties. And you pull them down so it looks like a lollipop sort of a shape. The best thing about it is that community groups, iwi groups, schools and CRUDA, they can all do this method for very little expense. And then they can sample their streams, monitor their streams, and, you know, monitor the health of their streams.
Would you mind giving a bit of an explanation of what these CODA look like and how they act? And because when I think of crayfish myself, I'm from the East Coast, and so we've got these, you know, nice big orange crayfish that you can, you know, cook up and share between a couple of people, but these aren't the same kind, are they?
No, they're totally different. They breed differently. These ones, they're quite small, about the size of your hand. They get up to about that sort of size. I've got chile or big nippers as well. The front legs are more like a lobster, really. They used to be super abundant in the Rotorua and Te Arawa lakes. Yeah, they're used for bartering with iwi from outlying districts. Yeah, and like the opening of Tamata Kapua Meeting House in the late 1800s, I think they had 500 sacks of kora tails. They were just, and the reason there was, this is quite important too, the reason there were so many up here was there was just, there's no eels in the lakes up here. The tuna are their main predator. Up here, the lakes, particularly Lake Rotorua, was like one massive kora farm. And there are over 1,000 recognised fishing grounds, all belonging to each different whānau or hapū groups and stuff, and which were very jealously guarded. They often say there was more food in the lakes here than there was in the surrounding catchment.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, this would be just like an amazing resource that you could tap into because it's always just there. And if they're anything like saltwater crayfish, I imagine they would be quite delicious as well.
Yeah, they're really delicious. Over in, probably the most famous in that southern United States where they have those big, you know, they call them crawdaddies and stuff. They have that gumbo, you know, they have those big boil-ups. And that sort of Cajun sort of cooking, they're quite big. And it's pretty much the same taste as those ones, but their ones are a lot hardier than ours. Our ones sort of like cooler, cleaner water. Those ones can live in pretty much anything.
Yeah. And I was thinking this is quite a good example, correct me if I'm wrong, of, you know, Mātauranga Māori science working with and complementing, you know, Western science, because I think it was in the news a while ago about putting Mātauranga Māori, you know, scientific thought on par with traditional science. But it's always quite like a, just saying those words sounds kind of like airy-fairy if you're just, you know, a person walking down the street, you think, what does that mean? But this is quite like a good concrete example of using traditional Māori ideas and using them alongside other forms of science. Do you think that's like a fair assumption?
Oh, no, definitely. There's a Nelson Boys College, there was a stream that runs through their school grounds, and there's a culvert and it comes out into this pool. And the council used to come along and dig up this pool to clean out the sediment and stuff so the water can flow through. And then the kids noticed that the cobra numbers would drop off, you know. So one of the teachers there, he went and used this method to collect the cobra, and then they did a big tagging mark recapture experiment on the cobra to get an estimate of the population. So they did that, and they found there were quite a few in there. And so then they wrote a letter to the council saying, hey, you know, before you come and clean out that drain, that pool, let us know and we'll go and collect them out and we'll hold them and then we'll put them back after you finish the job so you don't kill them all. So the kids learnt a lot about mass, you know, that all the mass on the size ranges and the male-female sex ratios and percentages. And yeah, and then they learned a lot of Māori words as well. And I had to laugh because they had at the end there, the boys were more engaged in their learning than normal because they're just out there catching cobra and, you know, so it really helps, as you say, it's really complementary to getting kids, particularly Māori kids, involved and interested in science, you know.
And so I think to kind of round it off, how can people engage or learn more about this technique? Is there like some place they can go to a website or anything like that and learn?
Yes, there is. And just through a... go to the NIWA website and put in monitoring CORA, or just do a a Google search, and it'll come up with a few options there. And one of them is Tokoro Sample Collection and Processing Protocol. So that'll tell you everything you need, how to make them, what gear you need, how to measure, how to sex them. Yeah, and with videos and everything on there, so...
That was The Green Desk with Jack Marshall, where he spoke with freshwater scientist Ian Kusamps, Ngāti Tuwharetoa, about monitoring freshwater kōura.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.